This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the meantime, though, we're taking a look at the aviation industry this morning because the Asia-Pacific region is projected to have a market size of $10.3 billion by 2035 for airlines to grow their ancillary revenue through in-flight services, connectivity, as well as enhancement of these services.
Now, Inmarsat, a British satellite telecommunications company, recently commissioned a study by the London School of Economics on the future of in-flight connectivity. And here are some of the notable findings from that. That Generation Z is forecasted to become the largest group of airline flyers globally within the decade, with 1.2 billion flying each year by 2028. That's 8 years away, basically. And more than a third of them will be from the Asia-Pacific region. The study also suggested that millennials and Gen Zs are more open to making in-flight purchases, given the availability of the right infrastructure, which means Wi-Fi.
So for more on this, here on the line with us is Dominic Walters, VP of Marketing Communications and Strategy at Inmarsat Aviation. Thank you for joining us, Dominic. So how has digital demand changed since the days of the baby boomers as well as the Gen Xers?
The difference is quite huge. If I look at when I grew up in a period when there wasn't email, when we didn't have connectivity every day of our lives. And I think what we see today is we have young millennials and the beginnings of Gen Z who are beginning to enter the workforce. And that means that they start having a disposable income. Now, the big difference in that generation is that they are the first digital natives. They have only grown up in a world of connectivity. So they, for example, demand things in a much faster manner because they can. And that also comes down to their purchasing habits. As we see the big disruptors in the world, the Amazons, the Alibabas, they are looking at ways to meet that demand. So the big difference is the speed with which the new generation has for being fulfilled in what they want.
So in what ways exactly can airlines actually develop better connectivity infrastructure to monetize their flights apart from just e-commerce?
Over the next 20 years, passenger numbers are going to double to 8.2 billion in the world. In order to meet the demand of growing passengers, you need more aircraft. They're estimating there'll be about 40,000 aircraft in the next 20 years. 17,000 is going to be in Asia alone. So when you start thinking about all those numbers, you have to start imagining how do we cater for them. And one area that is going to be playing a massive role in that is connectivity and the digitization of our entire infrastructure. Many airports are sitting in city centers, so they can't suddenly double in size. So what they have to do is become more efficient. So the use of things like big data, artificial intelligence, will help get passengers through airports faster. And then that's where connectivity starts playing another role on board. For example, you may see passengers being able to clear immigration at 30,000 feet before they land at their destination, which means that when they get off the plane, they will clear the airport faster. The other area, which you absolutely are right, is how do we meet the next generation's expectations? And that's by thinking about what they do on the ground and ensuring that they can do it in the sky. And that, for airlines, starts being monetized. Some great examples are, before I go on holiday, I spend a week running around, going to shops, buying sunscreen, buying swimming trunks, buying all of these items. When we looked at the next generation, they actually could do all of that spending on board the flight. And they just require two things: a good, reliable in-flight connectivity system at their disposal. And they also need to know that it will be delivered when they arrive at their hotel, for example. And $3.6 billion is spent on pre-purchase items for holidays or your first day in the resort. And you imagine all of that money being spent on board a plane. That suddenly becomes a revenue stream for the airlines to take a cut of.
Now, not a lot of flights provide connectivity at this point. Could you give us an idea of how much demand there currently is for in-flight connectivity?
Today, there are 450 million passengers out there who are not loyal to any single carrier. And they would be prepared to switch carrier if that carrier offered good in-flight connectivity. And the value put to them is $33 billion. And that, in effect, is $33 billion to be won today or lost today by the airlines that jump at this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Dominic. And that was Dominic Walters at Inmarsat Aviation. Interesting situation that he describes here, because, you know, the numbers he gives are quite compelling. This 33 billion ringgit, you know, industry that could be essentially redirected onto the planes themselves. And I'm wondering, actually, have any of you ever actually connected to the in-flight connectivity or the Wi-Fi on an airplane?
I think I have once, but it was incredibly slow. That I just didn't bother. And part of me actually likes being disconnected on a plane. It's forced disconnecting from reality.
Oh, we share something in common, Roshan. Because to me, that's the last frontier, guys, where Wi-Fi can't disturb me or like I'm expected to do work, you know. Because if I don't have Wi-Fi, sorry, I'm just going to read my book for a change.
But you know what really caught my attention, what he said? Clearing immigration at 30,000 feet. So if that
would be great.
That would be something to really shout about, because that would really make the airport experience a lot better. And this is basically talking about people, Gen Zs, who've lived digital their entire lives, mm-hmm. right? I still have part of my life where I knew what it was like to wait for something or not being connected to the internet. I have that. But for someone like my youngest brother, that's something that he has no recollection about. To him, the internet is just what it is today.
It should be seamless, right? Because in their mind, I mean, if you're used to it, it's not just when you're on the ground, but on the air. So you have always, and I repeat, always have connection to the internet. That is something that this whole concept of having Wi-Fi on the planes is all about. And how do you monetize it? Like he said, what, 30 billion by the value of this business by 2035?
Yeah, and just the simple things of, you know, the airline industry, the margins are so thin and it's such a competitive space. It's ancillary revenue that gets you going and makes that that buffer for you, right?
Yes. Especially if you start seeing more budget airlines like Air Asia coming up around the world, because you know more people want to travel but may not necessarily have the funds to go for the traditional, kind of the more traditional model of airlines that we saw previously. So when you start seeing more people traveling on a budget airline, you know, you also do kind of go into it expecting that you'll have to pay for your food, expecting that you'll have to pay for smaller services. And that is where the airline basically makes its money.
And the other thing Dominic mentioned was this habit of flyers going on a plane to buy things for their destination already, right? So we talked about one-day shipping yesterday. So all these things are tying in together to just create this environment of on-the-go, on-demand. What are the Japanese manufacturers called it? Just-in-time?
Mm. So Kaizen.
So we're approaching that for consumption. And what the impact on the environment is a separate thing at this point. But that's the consumer behavior that we're possibly looking at, and whether airlines can monetize that.
So basically, everyone around the world is starting to cater more to procrastinators like me, who didn't necessarily buy that sunscreen before actually getting on the plane. So these are things that we could actually see integrated into our aviation industry in the near future. So very interesting conversation. But right now we are heading into a few messages, and then after that we'll be speaking with Kanika Siamwala, Regional Head of Oil and Gas at RHB Banking Group, on Malaysia's fossil fuel addiction. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.